Good morning, Earth. This is King David McKenzie with news headlines and commentary for KillRadio.org, posted circa 9 a.m. Pacific time on the sixth morning of February 2013. Here's part of how the world treated itself in the last 24 hours. Barry Whitehouse, the drone president, may assassinate you if you are a United States citizen, and he feels your existence threatens U.S. interests, according to an Obama administration memo obtained by NBC News on Monday. Constitutional experts recognize this as a threat to constitutional rights and a dangerous expansion of the definition of national self-defense and of what constitutes an imminent attack. Mary Ellen O'Connell, a law professor at the University of Notre Dame and an authority on international law and the use of force, says, "Anyone should be concerned when the president and his lawyers make up their own interpretation of the law or their own rules. This is a very, very dangerous thing that the president has done." Such assassinations have already taken place. Anwar al-Awlaki and Samir Khan, who were killed by American strikes in September 2011 in Yemen, were U.S. citizens who had not been charged with any crimes. Attorney General Eric Holder, in a talk at Northwestern University Law School 11 months ago, endorsed the constitutionality of targeted killings of Americans, provided that the government determines such an individual poses an imminent threat of violent attack. But the memo obtained by NBC News refers to a broader definition of imminence and specifically says the government is not required to have clear evidence that a specific attack on U.S. persons and interests will take place in the immediate future. Glenn Greenwald, a constitutional lawyer who writes about security and liberty for the British newspaper The Guardian, described the memo as fundamentally misleading, with a clinical tone that disguises the radical and dangerous power it purports to authorize. If you believe the president has the power to order U.S. citizens executed far from any battlefield with no charges or trial, then it's truly hard to conceive of any asserted power you would find objectionable. Holder, as head of Obama's Justice Department, told reporters yesterday that the administration's primary concern was to keep Americans safe and to do it in a way consistent with American values. He claims the administration is confident it was following federal and international law. So much for this self-proclaimed constitutional scholar president comprehending the term due process of law. There's also the fact that by refusing to prosecute George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, and their collaborators for the war crimes that they've openly committed, international law makes Barack Hussein Obama a war criminal himself. So I guess once you get past the first crime, the second is a piece of cake. Members of the California Supreme Court expressed skepticism yesterday over claims that the state's medical marijuana laws prohibit local governments from banning storefront pot shops during oral arguments in a challenge to the city of Riverside's ban on medical marijuana dispensaries. Several justices said that they were bothered by the fact that neither the 1996 voter-approved initiative that legalized marijuana use for health purposes nor companion laws the legislature adopted in 2003 expressly state that cities and counties must accommodate retail marijuana dispensaries. Justice Joyce Kennard said that just because the laws allow eligible residents to use marijuana without fear of criminal prosecution, they did not necessarily take priority over the authority that the California Constitution grants local governments to control local land use for zoning decisions. But J. David Nick, a lawyer representing a dispensary Riverside officials have sought to close, told the court that lawmakers clearly intended to make marijuana easily and uniformly available for eligible residents statewide, a goal that dispensary bans thwart. The word regulation does not in any way signal prohibition. The Supreme Court has 90 days to issue its decision in the case, which will decide the fate of pot shop bans already adopted by over 200 municipalities and counties. Additional jurisdictions put on hold their consideration of either operating rules for pot shops or outright dispensary bans pending the court's ruling. You won't be getting letters or magazines from your United States postal carrier on Saturdays starting in August. Parcel deliveries on Saturdays will continue, however. The Postal Service announced that today. They claim that it'll be saving $2 billion annually. The University of Montreal says openly bisexual and gay men are happier than straight men. A new U of M study published in the current issue of Psychosomatic Medicine magazine explains. Researchers conducted a study of 87 bisexual, lesbian, gay, and heterosexual Canadians, some of whom were still closeted while others were living openly regarding their sexual orientations. The study found that BLG individuals who had told their family and friends about their orientation suffered from far less anxiety, depression, and burnout than heterosexuals or closeted gays and lesbians. Study lead author Robert Paul Juste tells U.S. News and World Report that as a group, bisexual and gay men who are out of the closet were less likely to be depressed than heterosexual men and had less physiological problems than heterosexual men. Our research suggests coming out of the closet has some health benefits. Coming out is no longer a matter of popular debate, but a matter of public health. For years, state Democratic parties have been gathering information about individual voters' political leanings. They have noted down the opinions voters shared with canvassers, which candidates they said they supported, or their positions on policy issues. Now, Mother Jones and ProPublica say that the record of what people told Democratic Party volunteers may go up for sale, and not just to political groups. Democrats are looking into whether credit card companies, retailers such as Target or Kmart, or other commercial interests may want to buy the information. State Democratic Party leaders formed the National Voter File Co-op in 2011 to sell their voter data to approved groups such as the NAACP. The goal was to recoup some of the money that local Democratic parties spent collecting and updating their local voter lists, which include voters of all parties. Much of the data that the co-op sells comes from the government and is already part of the public record information such as voters' names, addresses, and party affiliation. However, local Democratic parties also have information about voters' views and preferences collected over many campaign cycles, and some say Democratic parties have used this raw data to create sophisticated estimates of how likely any voter is to vote for a Democrat, support President Obama, or have certain opinions, say, on abortion or gun control. Pat Robertson is at it again. The infamous political televangelist claims predators and the pedophiles would be allowed to be scoutmasters if the Boy Scouts were to lift its ban on openly gay scouts, volunteers, and staff. Speaking on the Disney-owned ABC Family Channel cable network, Pat Robertson said that he hoped that the BSA would do what it feels right, rather than bowing to pressure from what he called the political correct crowd. The Boy Scouts of America announced last week it could soon lift its national ban on allowing gay members, volunteers, and staff. Its national executive board has been in discussions since Monday, and a decision is expected by the end of this week. But you can wash your ears out with this item. Celebrity baker Duff Goldman of the Food Network series Ace of Cakes has stepped in to save the day after a lesbian couple were refused a wedding cake by a pseudo-Christian baker. Aaron Klein, the owner of Sweet Cakes in Gresham, Oregon, came under investigation this week after a complaint was filed by one of the brides-to-be. The woman who filed the complaint said that Klein was happy to serve her before, but that he changed his mind when he found out that she was getting married to a woman. Goldman, the owner, of Charm City Cakes in Baltimore, offered to make the couple a cake free of charge after he heard about their story. He even offered to deliver it from Maryland to Oregon free of charge. Goldman says Klein's actions are petty. Obituaries include that of Ken Hodges, the singer and bassist for the 60s pop group Spanky and Our Gang. Viral pneumonia in Omaha at 76. Also, Paul Tanner, the last surviving founding member of Glenn Miller's famous swing band of 1938 through 1942, as well as the developer of the electrotheremin, the eerie-sounding instrument that's heard in such wide-ranging items as the Beach Boys' hit Good Vibrations, the 60s sitcom My Favorite Martian, and countless horror and science fiction movies. Pneumonia in Carlsbad, California, at 95. And Larry Nevers, one of the two Detroit policemen who were convicted of beating Melise Green to death with a heavy flashlight at a traffic stop in 1992, has died. The cause of Nevers' death was not announced by the Macomb County, Michigan Medical Examiner's Office, but it was known that Nevers had emphysema. Nevers was 72 years old. And one thing more, Chris Lavoie of Stephanie Miller's syndicated radio show tweeted this morning, far-right nutbag Brent Bozell of the MRC looks like he reeks of gin and cigarettes. Can we get confirmation of this? Okay, Chris. I'm King David McKenzie. A new podcast tomorrow morning. Until then, have yourselves some peace and oranges. Namaste.